Hey guys, welcome back. BDCKR here. We're back with Season 11, Episode 3 of our weekly Q&A content. It's a video to most of you. It's a podcast to some of you. If you're on the video and you'd like it to be a podcast for you, links in the description to access this on most major podcast platforms.
Right. So, apologies last week. The series of fights with the simultaneous super had background audio that was a little too loud. It drowned us out a bit. Thankfully, it was only for the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
But, apologies for that. So if you wanted to actually hear it and you were watching YouTube, then links are all in the description for the different places where you can hear just the audio track without the gameplay.
Whoopsies.
Whoops. Yeah, apologies. All right, so this is Season 11, which I would like to call the Season of the Lost Challenge Characters.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're watching is Batgirl Prime. She is still relevant. She has a passive that is still powerful. And that's a reason why she's often used as a support character. And she's good as a support character, but it's hard to forget that she was the original Batgirl when the Cloak of Destiny was released. And there was that loadout to create a special one nuke with a huge amount of splash damage back when splash damage was more important than knocking out your opponent.
Yeah.
So, back in the day, right? Splash damage was key. 50% bonus on each of the opponents that are off screen on Special 1 with the League of Assassins Knives. When Cloak and League of Assassins Knives were released, they were super synergistic on Batgirl. And of course, League of Assassin Knives had to be the rare drop out of the three League of Assassin gears. It was the hardest one to get. So even though she's really a great support character, and that's how she's used a lot, as a primary damage dealer, she's got a really powerful special one. Now, you might notice what's interesting on this team is she is, because she's the main damage dealer and we don't really have a secondary star, we're missing out on a bit of her passive because we have Red Lantern Hal Jordan. He starts off with 3 bars of power. Her passive can't give him any more, but he is crucial for gear stripping to sort of balance out this team and really give Batgirl a chance to shine. I mean, in some ways, you almost don't need the gear stripper if you wait out the Astro Harness until the invulnerability is over. She can still do a lot of damage. You can see that when her special one crits, and we geared her to crit more often with the Lexor Gauntlets to go with her max augmented 50% crit chance. So that's, I think, like 80% total. So she's going to crit most of the time, and she's going to do 130,000 damage if you can get her to 190% plus. But so it's wild, though, that some of the opponents have more than enough health to survive that. So gear stripping is still more important than you'd think, mainly because of how quickly Matchmaker increases the stats on your opponents so that you're facing people that could actually survive.
That's a massive amount of damage.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it feels emotionally like it should be able to take up pretty much anybody.
Right. Because it may be that she just needs some augmentation, right? Like our team, none of the people have health over 100,000. You can augment her by promoting her past what we've got her at level 50, elite 7. Yeah. Maybe augment her damage a little bit.
Yeah, damage and not health so that it's disproportionate.
Right, right. So she's really good. I mean, you can see it right here. You still want to take advantage of Hawkgirl. I mean, you could probably use Rebirth Raven as your third character. Hawkgirl, obviously, for the quick tag-ins and tag-outs. Red Lantern Hal Jordan just makes it easier because he's fast. You can sit him in front and strip the gears off whoever's going to be facing Batgirl first. So, you know. But I think what's wild to me is just how much of a difference. It's not just her passive. If she didn't have a passive, it really is just the way her special one is set up and the gears are available that make her still relevant. And that's why all the Batgirls are relevant for exactly strategy, and they all have their own little sort of nuances to make them a little bit different than the others. Sure. Prime Batgirl is probably the best for this, mainly because her special one hits after the stun, one hit only. Everybody, all the other Batgirls have multiple hits, and they still work, but they are more likely to whiff a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some damage that's wasted. And it matters less when you're not doing splash damage. If you were doing splash damage loadout, you could see the difference of and why Batgirl, she offers something that the other Batgirls don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I should point out, we'll link in the description, the ones, so the lost characters that we've done the most recently are Injustice 2 Aquaman, Aquaman Prime, and Aquaman Regime. So we've gotten through all the Aquaman skins that are the lost challenge characters. And we're making our way, I think, next week, if we're on schedule with this season 11 of Lost Challenge characters, should be Gaslight Batman, who's been interesting. I've actually played with him a little bit. Very interesting.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So our first comment from viewers this week comes from DSR Leader 1563, 1563, I guess. They say, great video. I remember watching you guys when I was 17. Now I'm 21. Freaking long. And so I don't know if you had an anecdote. I had something that happened mm-hmm. relatively recently that sort of reminded me of the channel and its length, which was that I was playing an online video game. I was playing a little bit of Valorant.
Yeah.
I hopped into a game and I was talking in the team voice chat with, you know, some strangers. Mm-hmm. And the first thing one of them said to me was, are you a streamer? And I was like, no, I'm not a streamer. Why? Why do you ask? And he was like, I don't know. Just because like... your mic and your voice, I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, no, I'm not a streamer. I love that. I've done a little YouTube. And it just reminded me of when we first started this and I was much younger. And
well, my voice was much higher. When they say when, like, this, so DSR, they were saying when they were 17.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
I was younger and I'm older. I was younger than 17. Was I like 15?
Were you even 15?
I don't know.
You
were I'm 23 now.
I thought you were like maybe 13.
Maybe 13, whatever. Maybe. So I was young and I was significantly older. And so it's just the way that comments used to change from, you know, kids' voice is squeaky. Is that a boy or a girl? I can't tell. Whatever. Yeah. Mostly just boy or girl, I can't tell. It's not a mean comment, right?
Right.
It's not necessary, but it's also not mean. Mostly things that were either mean or... kind of neutral but still had the potential to make me feel bad, right? Because obviously right. the person saying that isn't necessarily saying like, you know, I can't tell, you know, your voice is androgynous and that's bad,
right
but it's still well, as you know, a kid, you don't necessarily want to have a voice where they can't tell if you're a boy or a girl. They just know that it's squeaky.
Right. What's funny is, all right, so I've read this somewhere a long time ago, like yeah. as a joke, but it there's a kernel of truth to it, is that the when people are really young,
yeah,
and when people are really old, that they, secondary sexual characteristics,
yeah,
yeah, they become less distinguishable,
yeah.
And I'm thinking it's funny because mm-hmm. We're coming at it from different places. I feel like I'm getting to the age where
you're becoming more androgynous.
Well, that it's gonna that's
or it's on your horizon.
It's on my horizon. It's close enough that I can feel it. It feels like it's imminent.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I am on I've given my work like 7 years retirement notice. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's still a while away, but I feel like,
there's
it's considerations, right? Like the things that run through your mind, the things that you worry about are things that, I never considered yeah. 10 years ago.
But so it was interesting because I kind of, for a time, I went through a journey of being probably more self-conscious about my voice than I would otherwise be, because right. I had random strangers on the internet giving me feedback about it.
Right. Unasked for feedback.
Yeah. And then I went to feeling sort of neutral about it, to having random strangers compliment my voice. And because I've done this, I've actually had to listen back to my voice more than the average person. So I probably right. actually... I wouldn't say I like hearing the sound of my own voice on recording. I think most people don't, but I've listened to it enough that it's sort of absorbed into my self-concept of how my voice sounds. So I'm not surprised or uncomfortable by it. I'm like neutral.
Do you think then that because you've listened to it and you've been conscious about it, that that's giving you a little bit of feedback? Like, and it's sort of...
Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. No, I also understand more about the way that my voice can be different. As in like when I'm hanging out with my friends, I tend to... use a wider variety of pitches. I'll go more high pitched, I'll go more low pitched. Right. And that's like the same thing. There's like that research about like, you know, I'm more comfortable around people, right?
Right.
So it's different from when I'm sitting in front of a mic. This is probably the situation. And like when I'm talking to like strangers on a game, for example,
right.
Those are situations in which I'm probably forcing my voice to be a little bit lower, a little bit smoother. This is higher effort. And I think over time recording these videos, I've also used more of my sort of pitch and cadence and more of my vocal range just as I've gotten more comfortable doing this, right? It becomes closer right. to sort of talking to a friend would be like for me. But so I understand a little bit better how to make my voice sound a little different, not like in a voice actor way, right? Not right. in like a fake voice that okay. I'm putting on way, but just in like within my sort of natural modes, code switching, right? In sort of right. the selection of different ways that my voice sounds. Cause there's research, for example, that like women will sometimes go a little higher pitched when they're around somebody that they're attracted to. Men will go oh, really? Lower, stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's like, you know, obviously the research is mostly pretty heteronormative. Although I said like person they're attracted to instead of, you know, woman right. around a man that they're attracted to. But the point is like, you know, subconsciously people are like, oh, if I'm a man talking to a woman who I'm attracted to, I want to highlight aspects of my masculinity, right?
Right.
I want to, for whatever I think makes me more attractive, you want to
right.
emphasize those characteristics. And so for men and for the way that we're currently socialized, right? Mm-hmm. That is often like a low, smooth voice. Sometimes there's like vocal fry associated with it. That's when you get like sort of not quite rumbly but almost rumbly with it,
right?
You know, that a lot of people like that, so people will push that. And then there's sort of the far extreme example of that, which is when somebody is, you know, making content where they're clearly trying to make themselves sound way more attractive than they are, and they like go really like low, and they're like, they're like, nah, dude, I don't know what you're saying, man. I just sound like this, right? This is my natural. I'm not trying to impress anybody or anything, you know. I can't even do. I don't even think that's the voice. They're going like way lower. It's that sort of corpse husband kind of.
Corpse husband.
There's a creator named Corpse Husband who has. I think he actually literally has like a throat condition. But he sounds like super. I see. I can't do his voice, and I don't.
Gravelly.
It doesn't. Yeah. Super. It's raspy. Really. It's incredibly low really? And gravelly, and a huge amount of vocal fry, and it is like. It kind of takes you back the first time you hear it. It is totally
right.
his natural speaking voice, but there's. A lot of people found that voice really attractive, and so there's a lot of people trying to mimic it. And right. I can only do the, like, I'm Batman kind of version of it. And when I'm doing it, it sounds like a joke. I'm kind of glad for it, right? I don't want to have, like, a natural register of me trying too hard.
Right.
Like, a trying too hard voice is kind of embarrassing. The fact that it sounds a little goofy is not something that I'm sad about.
Okay, so that's interesting, because now it's made me think that... See, clearly you've given some thought. So
yeah.
It's that Malcolm Gladwell thing about putting in 10,000 hours mm-hmm. that you get better. But I think what's easily forgotten and missed is that it's not just 10,000 hours and putting your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thoughtful 10,000 hours. And it's made me think, because I have not considered that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like maybe that I've not made any changes and made no improvements because I've been not really doing it thoughtfully the way you have.
But what I'll say is I don't think I've made improvements necessarily. I think I've just been cognizant of it. I haven't made any effort to change how I sound, right? Yeah. It is something that happens naturally, but it's something that I become aware of, right?
Right. I'm just not even aware of it
because
I haven't... Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would say that your voice is very similar on and off. I saw something, it was like a long time ago, I saw something that like Hank Green talked about having like a content voice. Where he sounds different when he's doing content, that he pushes more energy into it. And I've, you know, seen stuff where people say, you know, it's me, right? The person on the video is me, but I'm like, I'm trying to be like 20% more energetic, or I'm doing this thing, right?
Right.
And so I just kind of, I'm not making a super strong effort, but, you know, when I'm recording, I'm trying to use less filler words like right? That's something that you do. It's something that you have been aware of, and that we like.
I guess that's true, but I think maybe that's less a YouTube thing than it is a general thing, because at my work, I need to speak in front of people, not large groups, but mm-hmm. medium-sized groups.
But professional context, right? This is a sort of semi-professional context. Yeah. And so you try to bring whatever elements of sort of your YouTube self here. And that might be making more of an effort to speak clearly, thinking more before you say something, being more aware of the words that you're saying. Like, I will say things with my friends, and be a lot less worried about the accuracy of the statements I'm making. I'll be a lot less worried about sort of the way that my statements might come off to a party who doesn't know me, right? How something might get taken out of context,
right?
Right? The kinds of like jokes I'm willing to make with friends who I know and I'm comfortable with. Mm. And I'm not talking about like, you know, here I'm like, racism is bad. And then I get on with my friends and I'm like, I don't like those minorities. You know, it's not like that's not,
right.
I don't think I express anything with my friends that is significantly different or would be shocking to anybody who listens to this.
Right.
Right. But it is different. And I don't have to care as much as there's statements that I'll make where here I'll go, I don't know, maybe take that with a grain of salt, or I'd have to look into that more or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if I'm talking with my friends, I'll go, oh yeah, there's like a paper or something about it. And it says this, basically. I do like the news version where I say, it turns out chocolate's good for you now. Right?
Wow.
Whereas if here I was like,
whole other thing.
Here I would be like, oh, chocolate is maybe good for you according to this one study, but I haven't read it myself. And also maybe you look at the abstract because it seems like a little more complicated, right? Like here I'm concerned about sort of accuracy.
Yeah.
And even then, I think, you know, still, if you're getting any primary information from us, this is the wrong place to go for it, mostly,
right.
Except for maybe injustice information. And even then, you know, most of what's good here is our personal opinion anyways.
Yeah, it's interesting. The concept of code switching was not that common when I was younger, but it applies to so many things, like you brought up earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading something where John Scalzi was saying that he's definitely got a persona. I mean, he's not faking anything, but that when he's doing social media, he's specifically making an effort to put a certain side of him as the, you know, what he's showing everybody, and that it's not meant to be misleading, but he's not gonna be focusing on all the negative stuff. It's promotional. He's doing it to further his career in some ways, depending on which, I guess, avenue he's, or which sort of social media stream he's using.
Yeah. You know, you do things and you, whether or not you've thought about them or stated them, you have goals, right? Yeah. My goal for this is to make something that's relatively entertaining to other people if I can, right? If I can help it.
Right.
My goal is to, you know, for example, like, make it so that most people can listen to it, right? So one of the things that we don't do here is swear. I don't have any issue with swearing. I don't think swearing is a morally bad thing, right?
Right.
I swear with my friends a decent amount, not like constantly, but also I'm not like holding back any sort of profanity, right?
Right.
But in an effort to make this more accessible to people who don't like swearing, which is also a totally fine thing,
right?
It's easier for us to not swear here.
Well, because there's a really small, if any, audience that requires swearing to enjoy.
Yeah.
So we're not excluding anybody by not swearing. I don't think
it would make what this is significantly better.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And, you know, if a kid's watching this or something, because they might, right? I don't want to have, like, a bunch of swearing in a video. Because, you know, with my friends, we all are around the same age, right? We have our understanding of what we are and are comfortable with. We make an effort to sort of make it feel like a safe and welcoming and like joyful place when we're spending time with each other, right? And swearing might not do that in this video. It might, you know, turn some people off it.
Right.
So there's no reason to swear. And so I don't. So that's, you know, a goal that I have, and I'm making a conscious choice to do something to achieve that goal.
Right.
And it's, you know, obviously our goal is very different from a lot of YouTube content that's being created, which is for like views and money. We don't really optimize for that.
Yeah, we don't care nearly as much as we probably could.
But there's sort of ways that you go into things and things that you're hoping to get out of it, and it naturally changes how you interact with it. And some of it's subconscious, and you know, the way that I talk on these videos is subconscious, right? I'm not making any effort to, but part of it is probably I want to sound nice, right? If somebody has a thought about how I sound in one of these videos, I want it to be that guy has a nice voice, if there's a thought. Or no thought, or whatever, right? I am, like, that would make me feel better, right? Feel nice. And I would like that more. So that's sort of the subconscious shift towards that goal. Whereas with my friends, you know, I am not really thinking about that at all. Their opinion of how my voice sounds doesn't really matter that much to me as long as it's not a negative one.
Right.
And so I want to sort of, I don't know, be more, a little more expressive in my voice, I guess, with them. I tend to sort of riff back and forth with people. So the being able to sort of use my full vocal range feels, I don't know, more engaged. It feels right for the context. I can't even exactly tell why. So that was just interesting. So
yeah,
that's something about doing this for a while. The other thing, totally unrelated with the game, is that because I mostly play with my friends, this was like one game that I decided to play
with a stranger
by myself to see how it went. Well, it was a group of five people, so it was four strangers and me.
Right.
I was like sort of talking. I was being a little bit of an IGL, like in-game lead, just for like IGL, in-game leader.
Oh, okay.
For our overarching strategy, because we were a little disorganized. So I'm like, why don't we try doing this, whatever. And this, so the guy was like, oh, are you a streamer? Later, he said, you have good voice. And somebody else asked, what rank are you? Like, how good are you at this game? And I was like, I don't play ranked. I just, you know, shoot with my friends. Like, I don't really even know what rank I would be. And he was like, yeah, because your callouts are really good. Like, you're really good at, like, you know, strategizing and making strategy or whatever. And it's just because when I'm playing with my friends, sort of, we're naturally trying to be communicative, give each other good information, tips, whatever, feedback. And so just the way that I had played naturally, I ended up in this place where I had a couple of people being just incredibly complimentary to me. So it was a really nice feeling. And it reminded me of both nice compliments we've gotten here, but also back when the compliments were not so nice here. Even they were mostly very nice. It was just that, you know, those compliments that are like, you have an annoying voice, like, I like the channel, feels all right, you know, it's cool. It's a positive experience. I don't like your voice, I think it's annoying, hits you a lot harder than this was a good video can ever boost you up, you know. It's a lot more sort of
That's human, though, right? Like, that we focus a lot on the negatives?
Yeah, you tend to focus about three times as much on negatives as positives, I think.
Right.
Approximately.
Right.
But it's separate, too, because one thing is about a specific thing I put out into the world, right? If somebody says, I like the shirt that you're wearing today, you're like, that's cool. But if somebody says, you've got a weird-shaped body for shirts, that's a lot worse than somebody liking, you know?
Right. Because there's different layers of it, right? Like, it's one thing if people don't like what you do. You can change that. There's one thing if people... when you buy something, it's not really you, it's just your taste, or maybe not even your taste. I have a ton of shirts that I don't care about, but they were cheap, so I wear them.
Yeah, my next video could be good or bad or whatever. My voice for that moment was was staying the same. It had been that way for a while, and it would continue to be that way for a while.
Right.
So luckily, it was not permanent. It was subject to change, and I'm here now. And some people like it. I'm sure some people still don't like my voice, but I'm not hearing from those people nearly as often. Life's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it is interesting, right? Like, we do say, we have these sayings for our kids when they're younger to say, sticks and stones will break my bones. But what is it?
Words will never hurt me.
Words will never hurt me. And that's not true. I mean, people say that, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost, it's interesting and sad how much what strangers say. Mm-hmm. Intellectually, we know what they say doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Really, like, ultimately these are random strangers, but there's like there is an impact, there's an emotional cost to certain things that happen, right?
It's one of the ways that you build your sense of self is through the visible perceptions of other people, right. It's a mix of how you feel about yourself internally, entirely separately from how other people feel. And then it is how other people feel and show you how they feel about you,
right?
Whether like directly or indirectly. And, you know, the ideal situation is that you've got people close to you, family and friends, that you value their opinion very highly. And they're the place sort of externally where you get most of your feedback from, where your primary sense of self from external people is bestowed upon you. But random strangers, and enough random strangers, do influence your sense of self and how you see yourself. If you walk around and somebody says, you know, you look ugly, you look ugly, you look ugly, and that's what everybody says to you, that's how you build your self model. It is, you internalize it to some extent.
Right.
You know, and everybody does to some extent, some people more than others. But yeah, so there was a thing that you used to always say that you read from like a webcomic or something. It was an XKCD or something. Where it was like, the sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will make me think I deserved it.
Oh.
You used to repeat that, like, a decent amount, yeah.
I can't even remember.
You've said that on this channel before. I'm 100% sure that there's an older weekly Q&A in which you've said that specific turn of phrase.
We will, you know what? We'll give a shout out to anybody who can find it. I don't even remember
that. It's not going to happen. There's too many videos to go through. Yeah. But so, it's...
That's a good line, though.
Yeah.
I think I might use it now.
you have used it. I'm giving it back to you. I got it from you.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, but so it's interesting. There's that whole sort of school of like the just ignore it kind of stuff. And
don't feed the trolls.
Some aspects of therapy too are even like changing your perspective or state of mind.
Right, it's reframing stuff.
Yeah, reframing. And so reframing works sometimes, but there's also arguments that have been made that I personally really agree with, which is that there are some conditions, cases, socializations, and situations in which that therapy can be actively harmful.
Sure.
Because, you know, for example, if somebody is coming to therapy saying that, you know, they have these sort of, they're in this type of cognitive distress, right? They're experiencing these issues in their life. And they come to you and they say, I am experiencing these issues. I'm depressed. I'm devaluing myself. Mm. And it is because the people around me are racist, right?
Right.
If you are saying, what you need to do is reframe, right? You are not addressing the underlying root, right? There are some sort of psychological states that are created or reinforced by, or in one way or another, are most easily addressed by looking within oneself and making sort of personal internal changes.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, if you're ruminating too much on stuff, there's a lot of times in which the thing that you have for is yourself. And the best place is there. But there's also a lot of situations where there's an external thing. And just reframing the situation you're in is not helpful because either A, it is totally real and valid and just ignore it doesn't actually do anything. Right. And we're talking about racism. Just ignore it allows and sort of helps perpetuate
that's racism. All right, so that's the exact point I was trying to make. I was going to circle back to the idea of when we were talking about the trolls and how there's the aspect of ignoring it and how sometimes that's not right. I think a lot of times it's not right.
Yeah.
If only because exactly what you're saying, it perpetuates it because it allows a person who's saying those racist things to believe wrongly that a lot of people agree with them.
Yeah.
Because they, in their mind, the logic is if they disagreed with me, they would say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that sometimes you have a situation in which there are two places that you have a locus of control. You can change something about your material situation, or you can change how you perceive it. And just having a reframing your mindset will leave you in a situation where you are not actively improving your material situation and you are limiting sort of the healing that you can do to only what you can do with reframing. So, like, an example of that might be if you're in a dead-end job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, you know, I hate my job. I'm really sad. I feel like I'm not achieving, you know, what I'm capable of, whatever else. And you get the advice to sort of have a better state of mind, right? Like, apply yourself, you know, understand that there's value in all work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And try to find the joy in your job and, you know, don't hold yourself to, arbitrary standards of productivity. You know, all those things are true and good and they're all good advice. But if you only get that advice and not the, and if you hate your job, you can quit your job. You can find something else, right?
Right.
You know, everything I said in the first half, I think is genuinely good to think and apply and live by when you can. Right. But there's more than just that, right?
Well, I guess that's still one aspect of the whole, you know, God give me the, what is it, to accept what I can't change, to change what I, you know, like that, and then the wisdom to tell the difference.
Yeah.
I don't, it's that idea, but it's that one aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
Just acceptance is not enough. Being able to tolerate what you're how you're living,
yeah,
or what your situation is not enough by itself. It's helpful.
Yeah.
But it needs to come with being able to recognize, okay, so is this a situation that I actually have to tolerate?
Yeah.
Like, it's all that aspect. There's a, I wish I could use the problem with a mechanical keyboard is it's real loud.
Yeah.
And so it's impossible to look up stuff while we're doing this. But it's God give me the, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like give me like the strength to like persevere through what I cannot change and to change what I cannot, whatever. I don't know. Something. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Lord, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay.
And the part that we're focusing on right now, we're talking about, is that just accepting the things that you cannot change by itself, it's valuable. It's only one part of it.
Yeah.
It's necessary, but it's not sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. I think that's a good point to wrap this thing up. We'll answer a quick question because we've really basically just rambled for half an hour.
But we did sort of answer a comment.
Yeah.
It wasn't a question.
The comment was also just a segue for talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it was an interesting, it made me think a little bit.
Yeah. Which is always good. Hopefully.
Yeah.
If we can make people think, I think we've been successful. And I only know for sure about the people in this room. So that right. means that I've done a good job today.
Right.
Okay. So anyways, our next comment comes from Abbas Muhammad Karsfi.
Al-Karsifi.
Al-Karsifi. Yeah. So it's
Abbas?
Muhammad Al-Karsifi.
Muhammad
8099. Let us know if I pronounce that right.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to parse out because sometimes people do these things where they don't put spaces where they need to be.
Well, and then I don't think there is spaces. And there's spaces. There's only spaces if it's just your name in the YouTube comments.
Right.
And in this case, the problem is that there's no capitalization, so I don't know where neither. One word stops and the other one begins. I should have honestly spent an extra minute or two and checked and looked it up and sort of noted down pronunciation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we run a... We're on a loosey-goosey ship over here.
Exactly. A loose ship.
Yeah. So they say, why don't you tell us how you have 14,000 nth metal?
Yeah, we got nothing to spend it on. So for people who've been playing, this is a good... it ties back into the viewer who's been watching since they were 17. This channel's been around for 10 years. And when the metal characters were first introduced... It actually took more copies of them to promote. I think to max promote them would take something like 40 something copies. And the only way to get the metal characters, it seemed like, was through the nth metal packs. You can get them through Phantom Zone, but they're very rare. And so the biggest payoff was to get them to Elite 3 because then you could max promote their passive.
Yeah,
and that seemed like the most valuable thing to do. And then their stats, because they were metals, were in line with the gold characters that we'd want to play them with.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be a different issue if you're going to play with all metal and only metals. But when you're playing and trying to mix and match teams, and we're still doing that sandbox kind of thing, right? But if that's your intent, then promoting them past Elite 3 is not productive.
Yeah.
It unbalances your team too much. And if that's what you're going through, I guess that's fine, but that's never been our strategy. So at that point, you keep on playing multiplayer, ranking, collecting nth metal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What are we spending on? I'm not buying any nth metal packs. I mean, I guess we could. We could still accumulate copies of all the different metal characters. But at this point, it's like our power credits. There's pretty much nothing to spend them on.
Yeah, so just sort of our dragon's hoard.
Yeah, so I guess at some point there was a comment from Nora Klimek, one of our patrons, that was asking about doing some metal teams. And I think at the point where we get there, I might consider spending down some of the nth metal, if only to play around. But what I think I might do first is save the account so I can back up if I change my mind. That's
create a backup problem. So we can restore it and undo anything that we screw up.
Because that's the biggest problem, right? If you don't know how it plays until you've made permanent changes, then I'm not sure I really want to spend the time creating a new account from scratch to bring everything back to where it was.
Yeah. The good news about it is that there's nothing really that we need for our own progress. So any resources that we acquire while you're messing around and playing, we won't be sad about seeing them go.
Right.
It won't really be a waste of our time.
Right.
So there we go. I think that's a good place. We've talked at least a little bit about Injustice this week. So we can end it here. To finish off, we'd like to give a huge thank you to all our patrons on Patreon.
That would be Michael DeVries, Irvin Ruiz, Hoshi127, and Nora Klimek. Who are supporting us on the credited level, and a longer list of names who you see on the screen that have been generous enough to have supported us at some point during the pandemic.
So there we go. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks so much to all of you for watching. We'll see you next time.
Komoda.